May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, this is a time of year where it kind of feels like we're getting ready to go off to the races. Holidays are coming. Thanksgiving, and then season of Advent, and Christmas, and New Year's, and sometimes can seem like it's all piles on top of each other, and suddenly we're into the next year. So we step back for a moment and consider in Scripture this morning what watchfulness and what anticipation really is in the Lord's eye. As we know, the church calendar year ends with the first Sunday of Advent, which is the top of December this year. And we consider how, as the church comes to its conclusion someday, the Lord will return, as Scripture promises us, and how we are to be waiting and watching, being vigilant, being prepared for that time rather than being careless and not being prepared in the contrast. And so for the text this Sunday morning from the Gospel of Matthew from the church calendar for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is a very familiar parable, Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, known as the parable of the 10 virgins. The following in verse 1 through verse 13 I would read in Jesus' name. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom's coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but you should go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. So the teachings of the wise and foolish maidens or virgins, which indicates purity, builds on the previous teachings of the wise and foolish servants. But you know, both parables, or all these parables, especially in the last days of the Lord, illustrate the need to live in a manner that expects the return of the Lord, even when the return of the Lord is perhaps delayed. And so the parable opens with a familiar phrase, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. It will play out as follows. Things will transpire in the following manner. You know, here we are in the year of, 2017, 2018 was right around the corner. And as we know, as time goes on, the Lord's return gets closer. Maybe not in any of our lifetime, we don't know. But the whole issue is preparation. The whole issue is a picture of watchfulness. And so the kingdom is like this whole scene portrayed in this parable, where some bridesmaids are preparing, are ready for the groom, and ready to enjoy the banquet, the wedding feast. How many of us would attend a wedding, typically, if it's not just a civil ceremony or something that takes place without the accompanying of guests, where there is not a banquet, where there's not a celebration, where there's not excitement, where there's not anticipation, where everybody is looking forward to the event. And others are excluded. Why? Because of their own lack of preparation. So the banquet is symbolic. Imagery of the messianic banquet that will be or take place when the Lord does return and when we're all ushered into the banquet hall as we picture it. We all have illustrations from artistic depictions. We all have illustrations that we see from other depictions of what it must or what it might be like, because we look at it from an earthly perspective and what we think is a banquet, or what we have illustrated for us as being a banquet. But you know, the importance of a typical wedding banquet would not have been lost on the first century recipients of this parable. In ancient times, wedding festivities typically lasted up to 7 days. And the processions of the bride and the procession of the groom marked the beginning of the event. And it was expected that the bridesmaids, not just the bride, but the bridesmaids, the maidens here, the virgins in the King James translation of the parable, it was expected that the bridesmaids would await the arrival of the bridegroom and greet him with a procession of light in the darkness. Light in the darkness. With the lamps. Imagine that. The procession of the lamps as the bridegroom would make his way to the wedding ceremony and the festivities that would follow. And presumably in those times, the bridesmaids were waiting in the bride's home for the groom to come and fetch her, or at the home of the groom's family where the wedding would take place. A little different today. Today we have it either in a venue of some sort, or in a church, or in some outdoor setting. Every bride and groom have their own perspective on where the wedding is going to take place. And much of it is centered upon cultural norms and what we are used to seeing and used to doing even in our time today. And so all the maids, all the bridesmaids, or the all the maidens, all the virgins, all the women that were accompanying the party would have either lamps, which we read of in this parable, or perhaps large torches that they would carry. But all were expected to be waiting with their lamps lit in eager expectation of the groom's appearance. I say that again. All are waiting with their lamps lit in eager expectation of the groom's appearance. But now in the parable, we have a delay. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five were wise, five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but note there is no oil. The lamp is a depiction of faith, and the oil depicts the Holy Spirit, which accompanies all of us as believers in our journey of faith today. The vessel of faith, gone empty. The bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So a question I remember back as a child sitting in service, listening to sermons, especially on this particular text. Why was the bridegroom delaying? He knew everybody was waiting and in anticipating his arrival. But you know, in reality, as look about what took place in those times, the groom's delay was not altogether uncommon. Remember, in the early and ancient church, the disciples and those that were parishioners of the early church were expecting the Lord to return in their lifetime. Going to happen quickly. He's going to come. Here we are, over 2,000 years down that road. He still hasn't come back, but he will. That's the promise. And so a groom's delay was not altogether uncommon. For instance, there could be last-minute negotiation between the groom and the bride's relatives over the gifts that would be exchanged. kind of part of all cultural norm today. Yeah, there might be an exchange of a gift from bride to groom and groom to bride, but it wasn't a matter of negotiation and what they should get. The gifts that would be exchanged. And you know, the text doesn't talk about what's the reason for the delay. Because that's not what's important. The important thing here is preparation. The lamp of faith must have oil, the oil of the Spirit. Matthew doesn't speak with the eloquence that John does regarding the Comforter. You know, in the last few chapters of John, John waxes much more eloquently than Matthew in his writings. And indeed, the reason for the delay is not to be the bridesmaid's concern, the church's concern. We just know he's coming again, but we don't know where, because as we enter the end of the calendar year of the church, typically the texts revolve around this theme of the return of the Lord and his timing. Indeed, in fact, they should have, in this parable, anticipated that a delay might occur. It wasn't unusual. In the literary setting we have, where the delay echoes the previous parable of the two servants. The parable of talents, Jesus' warning in chapter 24, and he said, "Therefore you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour," when you don't expect it. And so what happens in the due to the delay of the groom and the late hour, all the bridesmaids have fallen asleep, both the wise and the foolish. So I think what we have here is the note that sleepiness isn't the problem, since both wise and foolish have alike become drowsy. Ah, but the wise had oil in their lamps. Both groups, five wise, five foolish, had their lamps, but the foolish had allowed the oil to run out, this necessity of the container having that spirit, which is the picture in Scripture of oil. And only half had considered that the wait in darkness might be longer than anticipated. We look forward in anticipation to things, don't we? Holidays, times of family, birthday celebrations, anniversaries, weddings, all of those things that bring meaningfulness to our lives. And so now all the maidens, the women, the virgins are awakened at the announcement of the groom's arrival. When we're sleeping, a lot of times when something startles us and wakes us up, it takes a little while to get oriented to what's transpiring. We stayed awake. We don't have to go through this, you know, wake to sleep to awake transition, but it takes a while to get oriented. Okay, where am I and what's taking place? And maybe like when you travel or when you're in an unfamiliar surrounding, you can wake up at night and think for a moment, okay, where am I? What day is it? What time is it? When do I have to get up? Oh, I don't have to go to work anymore. Wow. Amazing. Go back to sleep. Or I don't have to go to work today if it's a weekend, if you're still employed. Wow, I don't have to go back to work. I don't have to go to work this morning because it's Saturday or it's Sunday or it's a holiday. And so they awoken, but in the sleepiness, there's also a disorientation thing. And so what do? They all set now to trim their lamps. The kingdom of heaven is at hand is what Matthew, the gospel writer, is inferring to the disciples in these parables in the last days of Jesus Christ. And so the bridegroom had delayed, whatever the reason was. They were slumbering and sleeping. And at midnight, at night, it's dark, came the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom's coming, go now out to meet him." Suddenly there's a flurry of activity. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So even the wise and the foolish trimmed their lamp. We don't live in a day where we have lamps on the sides of our houses, on the walls, or on the sides of the churches, but I can remember in my childhood there were still some of those little churches in rural America that had the lamps on the walls, even though they weren't used anymore. Or as when I've used this as a text before, I can remember Mother having two oil lamps in the hallway, sitting on the bureau, waiting for the times when the power would go out. And you kept the oil in the lamp, and you kept it trimmed, and it was ready. Turn up the wick, light the lamp, you had light in the house. We don't deal with that much today. Power supply is much more reliable. Most of us simply have a flashlight, provide for the temporary light that we need when the power does go out. Let's talk about trimming the wick a little bit. So those old lamps had a wick that they pushed up, and you trimmed it off and got it nice and clean, so when they would light it, the oil would now wick up into the top, and then you would light it and provide light for the house. Well, that portends and tells us we're to resolve problems between in relationships, first of all between God and us, and also between each other in trimming the wick. Don't allow it to cause problems so much that the light goes out. Make sure that we repair the relationships when we have the opportunity to do so. That's the power of the gospel that we have, where forgiveness is available through the name and blood of Jesus Christ. Watchfulness tells us that we don't want something that will cause our faith and our light to go out. Midnight came the cry. They trimmed their lamps. But it was no longer time. The celebration had started. Remember, we're on what, the east side of the River Jordan in the picture of the Promised Land? Once time ends, the availability of the gospel is no longer there. The foolish recognized, as the parable tells us in verse 8, said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." We have no more oil. The wise answered and said, "Not so." It's no longer the time to do that. It's over. Go to those that sell and buy for yourselves. And so they went out to try and find it, and the bridegroom came. Pity those five foolish ones that went out and the bridegroom showed up. For modern ears, the wise suggestion to go to the dealer to buy more oil might seem ridiculous. Because to the horror of the foolish, they discovered that they would not have oil to keep their lamps burning. The oil of the Spirit was no longer there, and the wise maidens refused to lend them extra. What would have become of the processional action if they'd have oil to usher the groom into the wedding? So where would the foolish maidens or foolish virgins buy oil in the middle of the night? Well, this detail probably is unimportant, however, but it became apparent they went out to find oil, went to look. And so when the foolish were away making arrangements that should have been already made, there should have been an imperative to have oil in your lamp. Remember, in the times of the prairie and the times of the move west from the east, the lamp was a very important item in the house. There were no flashlights, there were no batteries. They might have had a fire in the fireplace, but the lamp was a very important item in the home. And so it was well known that you had oil in your lamp, and you had the wick in the oil, and you had your wick trimmed. And we need to take lesson from that in our spiritual journey, in a lamp of faith. And so when they were out looking for oil, the groom arrived, the procession occurred without the foolish, and the banquet began. So now the foolish have returned, ready for the processional. It's too late. Remember, we're still in deal in the time continuum. We're still here on this earth where we have, you know, seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years and centuries. We don't know how long it's going to continue. They knocked on the door of the house, but their entrance to the wedding banquet was denied by the groom because they missed the grand procession that they were to be a part of. Although these bridesmaids were chosen to accompany the bride and the groom, their role didn't guarantee them a place at the banquet. They had initially played the part of wedding attendants. They might have sat in the pews of a church. It would take a current analogy. They had waited. At one time, their lamps were lit for a while, but they did not plan for the long, dark time of waiting. That's where we are. We're in the waiting period. The Lord has promised to return. We need to trust that. Might not happen in anyone's here's lifetime, but we're still waiting. We're still to have oil the lamp, the oil of the Spirit. We're still to be trimming the wick, resolving relationships, and working through problems that there is, both vertically from us to the Lord, but also between each other. And so as a result, the unfortunate reality is, in this peril of the Lord, they were shut out of the banquet. The maid's plea, the virgin's plea in verse 11, recalls Jesus' warning. From Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. That not everyone who cries, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. It almost seems harsh, doesn't it? Not on this side it isn't. It's available. That's what grace is all about. That's what forgiveness is all about. That's what mercy is all about. That's what God's love is all about. Available today. But see, there's an imperative attached to this parable. The imperative could be translated as stay awake, don't fall asleep in your spiritual journey. Or it could be rendered be vigilant. Be vigilant. Think about guard duty. Someone that's posted to protect. Whether it be in a military setting or whether it be in the expansion westward to the shores of the Pacific Ocean, there were guards that were posted that were to be there and to stay awake and to be vigilant. Don't fall asleep on duty. Don't fall asleep on post. The certainty of danger is out there. Remember, we have the picture of the shepherd and the sheepfold, where the Lord ushers the sheep into the sheepfold and guards the gate, stands at the door, keep out the intruder, keep out the marauding hostile forces that would want to cause harm to the sheep. We have all these pictures in Scripture. We have all these pictures in our history that illustrate for us this issue, the need to be vigilant, the need to be awake. They need to have oil in the lamp to recognize the Spirit as it guides us in ways of truth and the ways and the paths of Jesus Christ. The bridegroom's arrival was certain in this parable. Come into the banquet. Five that were prepared took part in the procession, went into the banquet, the door was shut. Five foolish came after the fact. Time was no more. We have a hard time with that illustration because we're used to, you know, wearing watches or having it on our cell phone or having it on our computer screen or whatever, iPad. We're used to that. It's hard for us to think about timelessness and time being no more, but that's what this illustrates for us, time being no more. And the uncertainty of the timing of the bridegroom showing up emphasizes for us the need to be constantly vigilant. In fact, what it's doing is challenging us, even today, to be watchful and to be vigilant and live in anticipation of the Lord's coming. You know, today we might find us ourselves secretly sympathetic to the foolish maidens, the foolish virgins. Some even go about trying to determine the timing, the time or the hour when the Lord would return. Some still do that. Think over the last 30 years of, you know, those who have gone through a great deal of effort to try and determine the time exactly when the Lord will return by items found or illustrations found in Scripture. How many of them have been correct? That many? Zero. None. And it probably will happen again. The Lord will return on this date in whatever, 2025. It says in Scripture that no man knows, no one has been told. It's for God the Father to do it in His time and His timing. Don't get caught up in it. Watch therefore, for you do not know, verse 13, the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man is coming. He's providing for them a picture of what will take place after His departure. They should be waiting, they should be watching, but do the Lord's work, well, it's still time. Nobody's going to know that. So anyone that tells you, I know exactly when the Lord's returning, just pull out these different verses in Scripture that says, sorry, what you're saying doesn't hold water in light of what has been written in the Word. But we're to be watchful today. We're to be vigilant. We're to be as the wise rather than as the foolish. We don't want to be among the ones who said, verily I say unto you, I don't know you. I know you not. We want to be part of the banquet, part of the celebration. Be there. That's what Scripture is telling us. Be there.